We are coming to you pretty much live from the Marriott Willard in lovely downtown Logic Free Zone, where CPAC 2012 is officially underway. We yapped a little bit with Grover Norquist in the first half hour. Margaret Thurber and Charles Earl were here for a few minutes. And now sitting directly in front of me, the Natalie attired author extraordinaire and good friend, James Bovard.
First time anybody said I was Natalie attired. I must be doing something wrong.
Well, I didn't want to say you look like you just dragged in from the Appalachian Trail. You know.
Well, you know, I heard that's what you said earlier today, but it wasn't true. You know, okay, I'm wearing boots. I'm wearing the same pants I wear hiking sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing the heavy leather hat, you know, but I'm not packing heat.
I understand that. And I would guess...
I'm not admitting packing heat.
What? and then, of course, there, you know, to hike through some of this stuff, you probably need those pants.
Hit boots,
that is for sure. I'm asking everybody, you know, pretty much the same question. I mean, you were with us here last year, and the year before, and so on, and I'm just trying to... I mean, Nathan and I have been talking about it. Charlie Earl and I were talking about it. He's been here the last 7 years. Something's missing here. I'm sorry. There's an electricity. There's a vibrancy. There's an exposure of ideas and groups and philosophies and so on.
This is CPAC.
Yeah.
This is CPAC. I mean, you know, I'm surprised that you're surprised that it seems brain dead.
I guess because last year it seemed to be, Campaign for Liberty was very involved.
Campaign for Liberty was here. There were a number of groups that had some fire in their belly for individual freedom in the Constitution.
Right.
A lot of the folks here now are just looking for government jobs or government contracts or to help their politician win. And it's surprising to me that, you know, if you think of the three non-Ron Paul candidates, I don't see any vibrancy here for Santorum, Romney, or Gingrich.
No.
I mean, there's stands and there's a few buttons here, but there's nowhere near the passion there was in earlier decades at CPAC. I mean, I don't know if it's like if there's a pre-election wake that's already started to mourn the re-election of Obama. Hopefully not, but I don't know. But I think most of the folks here don't give a damn about ideas, and they use ideas as a way to win power or influence or... get credibility.
Well, unfortunately, I think that is about as close to MOA accurate as anyone could get. What I was looking over the, I was telling Cassie, I was looking over the program for the speakers and the subjects and so on, and I went through the six pages that started last night, but essentially, you know, today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and we don't broadcast Saturday or Sunday, so
thank God.
Yeah, and usually that's party time and BS anyway, but this is supposed to be the hardcore, Thursday and Friday. And so I do not know these people. I recognize some of the big headliners, obviously, you know, Boehner and Rubio and folks like that. But when you get into the, one of the great things about CPAC used to be that there were some really interesting talks, panels that would get together in some of the outlying rooms prior to at least when we went on the air. And you could hear some interesting ideas being exchanged. And now it's all almost like indoctrination. Has multiculturalism failed? What? And we're going to spend how much time on that?
Well, there was an article, I think, on Salon or something like that by a former CPAC, you know, player, and he was saying that very much of this is pay to play, that the people getting invited are making themselves welcome here in various ways. But it's funny, I had a different reaction when I was looking at the list of individuals and groups that were here. I was just like, you know, name after name, I was thinking, I was amazed that son of a gun has not been indicted yet. Now, here's someone, you know, is someone not behind bars? The American justice system has failed. I mean, there was a book signing by Don Rumsfeld about an hour ago, and there were all these kind of glassy-eyed bimbos waiting to get his signature. I was just thinking, like, you know, and he walks free. Life is unfair.
Well, there's that. I think K Street is very well represented.
Oh yes,
here.
Yes, they've certainly done well. They're passing out a bunch of little freebies.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting. It seemed like that there were more young people, and that they look brighter last year.
Yes. Well, if you had been with us at lunch today, and you saw these seven late teen, early 20-somethings, there were seven of them sitting around the table, and they each got their own separate check. And then the arguments began. And this poor waitress is like, I did not have an iced tea. I didn't have the iced tea.
And that's why it took you 2 hours to get your lunch, right?
Yes. Yes, this woman's going back and forth. She's got seven individual tickets, all for $6.97 and $11.42. And somebody says they got a coupon for 10% off at Harry's Bar.
That's a riot.
In this hotel. Oh, man. I said, this is our, we are the world. We are the children. We're in deep doo-doo. Anyway, I was just trying to get the sense from folks who I know and trust as to, where is it? Because like you say, being a presidential election year, you'd think this place would just be alive and electric. Everybody was looking forward to get rid of Obama and all the rest. And that was a great point you made earlier. This kind of, pre-post-depression, that's kind of set in light of the fact that there really isn't anybody out there lighting anybody
up?
Well,
I mean, a baseline going back 13, 14 years when they would have CPAC in the late 90s, there was intense anti-Clinton sentiment.
Yes, there was.
And it was focused, it was passionate, sometimes it was even informed. Whereas now it's just kind of like, Obama, we hate him. And that's, almost nothing else. Or there are folks that focus on a single issue, like some energy issue or whatever, but there's almost no one looking at the big picture anti-Obama except to say, he's a bastard. And this is kind of like, I can get that from Talk Radio. Whoops, I'm sorry.
the issue, too, is that we seem to have boiled down our sense of governance in the country to being one of feelings and not principles. Everything is run on emotion. How we are emoting the governance. I feel this is a good idea. I feel this way about it, as opposed to constitutional principles and those parameters that we're supposed to govern. And when you get in, once you break out of those boundaries, then you've got what?
Well, as a famous American said a few months ago, the thing America needs is a leader, not a reader. I mean, and Herman Cain's comment, some people actually like that. And on both parties, there's just this vast ignorance, and people think, well, it's only the voters. No, the politicians, as most of the Republican candidates, except for one, in the debates have shown, they really don't know their backside from the hole in the ground on specific issues, aside from the slogans. And this is where there are so many different levels of bankruptcy in the political system, and there's no one on the horizon looks like they would have any sense at all as far as fixing that. And there's also not a sense that the American people want some, would rather have a political leader who is as well informed as your average newspaper reader.
So what do you think? I know you're fairly agnostic to all of this, but just for the sake of grins and giggles at this stage of the game. So you have these four Republicans. One has been 99% marginalized as far as being a credible candidate because he's wacky and he has a wacky foreign policy and he's a cranky uncle and all that. So they didn't ignore him like they did the first time around. Now they just make fun of him, and just leave him alone. So it's a combination of that. So now you got these other three clowns, Santorum, kind of an anarcho theist.
That's a good phrase for him.
In his
condom guy.
Yeah.
I guess he's the anti-condom guy.
Anti-condom, right?
But guarantees we're screwed either way.
Bomb everybody. Yeah. Then you got Mitt. Who is
the yacht salesman.
The big guy. Yeah. Right. If he was running against Kerry, that would be an interesting race.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it'd be hard to tell them apart. You'd have to have a scorecard. It'd be like an old-time boxing match where, which they had to wear different colored trunks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you'd probably have to factor in the yacht envy.
Yes.
You know, that factor in there. But I guess what I'm trying to get to is there any chance? Is there any chance that the that they'll have that they'll get them up there? That we'll get them out? I don't see it.
It's still possible that Ron Paul can make a major inroad here. So
yeah.
Because I think Santorum is going to be a floozy of the month, and people are going to start saying he wants to ban this, he wants to ban that. Then there'll be a backlash. I think he will deflate like Kane deflated, mm-hmm. like Bachman deflated, like Gingrich deflated. And then you have Romney, who almost nobody gets excited by, versus Ron Paul, who at least has got some enthusiasm. So,
yeah.
However, I ain't holding my breath.
No.
And I'm certainly not betting my beer money on this.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Ron Paul, Rand Paul is right behind you.
Oh, is he?
And,
okay.
And he was supposed to be with us here for a couple of minutes. So let me take a commercial break and get him in here. We'll talk.
Okay.
I'll ask him about that. James Bovard here at WSPD on CPAC. I put an ankle tackle on Jim Bovard and asked him to stick around for a few minutes and keep our analysis going here. I mean, this is the most excitement. What we were talking about, there's the excitement right there.
Right. I mean, it's fascinating that it shows it's such a contrast. It makes the previous doldrums even more stark. It's interesting that there's not any excitement except around a politician here.
No.
There were times in CPAC in the past there was passion about some ideas and principles. Now it's just a question of who's going to rise to power.
Yeah,
and Rand Paul's he's a hot number, so folks are following him and with their mouths open. And
yeah, it's kind of interesting. I also got word that Michelle Bachman will be coming back to Radio Row in about 15-20 minutes.
Okay,
I mentioned she was here. I mean, we talk about star power, talk about the excitement of politicians and all the rest. Like, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. She's not hot anymore. You know,
yep.
I mean, we'll probably get a chance to talk to her for a few minutes. I've spoken with her once before. She's a very nice lady. Has not impressed me as a leader or a politician or anything else. As a matter of fact, the last time she was on, which was back at the beginning of the race, she came to us with my understanding as being a very, very enamored of the National Rifle Association and vice versa, that she was a major proponent of the Second Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. So we spoke for a few minutes, and I said, you know, before you go, I wonder if you could give us your thoughts, you know, in the preliminary stage of this Fast and Furious scandal that's breaking. Silence. She had no idea what I was talking about. And I thought that was kind of interesting because of the firearms issue. Number one, the fact that you know, this thing had broken. I mean, there weren't any dead border patrol agents quite yet, but still there were guns, and the gun dealers were being hassled along the border, and Holder was doing this and that, BATFE was doing this and that, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I thought, oh, gee, Christmas, what are we doing here? So. But whatever, I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but...
well, she's not dead yet. She's still in Congress, which means that she's still alive.
Well, I meant from a campaign, a presidential campaign standpoint.
Yeah, I think her high water mark has passed, and it's always sad if a person's high water mark is a straw poll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.